listening to The Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Now, somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Raleigh
Raccoon.
And one day, his woman ran off with another guy, hitting young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day, he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon.
Raleigh Raccoon
checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible.
Well, it wasn't a raccoon, but it was for a second. So the Raleigh cat, which, by the way, was apparently found in that city garden. So the Raleigh cat has resurfaced with Mike Shannon. So we got a raccoon, and then it turned out to be a kitty cat. We'll call it the Raleigh raccoon at this point. Hey, joining us on 590 The Fan is Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. And it's the annual Climbing for Kids. Ryan, how are you?
Guys, I'm doing really good. I appreciate letting me jump on the show this Friday afternoon and kind of talk a little bit about our 2017 Climb for the Kids. This is our third annual Climb for the Kids. It's an event that we put together here at the Home Loan Expert Office, well, 3 years ago. And we were looking for ways to raise money for Friends of Kids with Cancer, which is a local organization here in town that does incredible stuff, not just for the child facing cancer treatments, but also for the siblings and the mom and dad and everything else. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them, but they do great stuff at Friends of Kids. So we decided we'd do something totally out of our realm, and we would climb a mountain. And that's exactly what we did. In the first year, we raised about $15,000 for Friends of Kids with Cancer. Last year, I summited Mount Rainier in the great state of Washington outside of Seattle. That was a three-day trek up to the summit of Rainier. And we raised probably about $15,000-$16,000 last year. Well, this is our third year doing the Climb for the Kids, and we're trying to raise as much money as we can. We are going to be doing Pikes Peak, so it's a little bit different. It's a marathon to the top of Pikes Peak and then right back down that mountain. Elevation gain, about 8,000 feet. It's a crazy race to be part of, and we're excited to do it. We're really excited about the four charities that we chose this year for listeners to donate money to: Friends of Kids with Cancer, Roman Tough, Safe Connection, and we even have a Civil War Museum. So I would just ask all the listeners, take a few minutes, read about the Climb for the Kids. It's a special thing for me since I did it the first 2 years. I will not be doing it this year, but I'll be out in Colorado Springs, actually, where Doug just came back from. I'll be out there next week with the team and getting it all ready. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com, click the link, Climb for Kids, read about those four organizations, and maybe, you know, hopefully donate some money. 10, 20 bucks goes a long way to these local organizations. They need the dollars. And I look forward to giving you guys an update next week, and then maybe when we're done, so you can hear all about how the climb goes and the excitement, everything goes with it.
Before you sign off, I wanted to ask if you have, because yours might be more interesting than the rest of us, if you have like a bucket list, because as I know, you've already hopped in the ring and done boxing, you've climbed Mount Rainier, you seem to be the adventurous type. What's on that list for Ryan Kelly next?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to tell you, but I'm probably going to get a phone call from my wife because I'm sure she's listening right now, and these are going to be things that she's unaware of. But I would, at some point, I'd love to do Everest, and I'd love to get up there and get out to Nepal and get around through the Nepal Valley and see K2 and even make an attempt at Everest. I'm going to wait till my boys are old enough to go with me. So my oldest son is 6 and my youngest is 7 months. So I've got probably 10, 15 years to train for that. But Everest is on a bucket list. We're talking about possibly doing something between Florida, Miami, down to Cuba, and doing some type of an event over the water there. We've got a quite few, but Everest would be the big one. And again, I want to wait till my kids are a little bit older. One more. I'd love to get on the radio sometime maybe and have one of my own shows. Charlie, you there?
I am, sir.
Well, first of all, Charlie, congratulations. I haven't talked to you in months, I don't think. Congratulations on everything going on in your life and
Thank
weddings
you.
And babies and everything else, dude. That's
yeah.
awesome. And if you ever have the chance and if you ever have the time, you guys, I'd love to do a radio show with you. That's on my bucket list. I could sit down and we could put together our show and the three of us maybe. What do you think?
I'm in.
Boy, what's more grueling, swimming to Cuba or doing radio with Martin and Charlie for 3 hours? Well, you may be longing for Mount Rainier at probably about midway through the show.
Mount Rainier's got a special spot in my heart. When I went up the second time and I summited it last year, I got to the point where I had to turn back the year prior. And believe me, the thoughts of turning around when you're on an ice axe, on a rope team, climbing up an ice fall, and if you make one bad step, you tumble 1,200, 1,500 feet, and you just are thinking, with the blizzard going on and negative temperatures, you're at about 13,000 feet, I got to stop. This is crazy. I need to get home. But I thought about those kids down there at SSM Cardinal Glennon and all the kids that we raised the money for with Friends of Kids with Cancer, and they pushed me to the top of that mountain last year. So Rainier is always going to have a special spot in my heart, but so does the radio. I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang up and listen, probably get a phone call from my wife about that Everest comment, because I swore to her I'd never even entertain that thought. And we'll listen to you guys. Have a great weekend. Either of you two going to the game tonight? Going to be down at the Busch Stadium tonight?
I'm there for pregame to get some interviews. Then I have to take off and anchor some shows on Fox 2.
Charlie will hold them accountable.
Sure.
During that. Oh, wait a minute. They've been winning. We don't have to hold them accountable anymore. Hey, Ryan, best of luck and for all your group there doing it, the annual climb for kids. TheHomeLoanExpert.com for more information. Take care.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for letting me jump on.
Thanks.
You know, his wife is going to call him and just say, you know, I don't care if you climb Everest. I don't really want you going on the radio, you know? I mean, I want you to make an honest living. And you know, climbing Everest, first of all, there's a movie called Keeper of the Mountain. It's a short, it's like a 20, these are the kind of docu-series, or not even a series, but documentary that I think Gardner would like. It's about a woman. She's early 90s, but she has been keeping records of people, so she is the official documenter of who gets to the top of the mountain, and they have to come. She's never climbed it, but she is so versed on the mountain and the hill. People meet with her and say, well, I was at mile marker or whatever, and she says, mm-hmm, and how many days was it till you what? And she knows if they're lying. And in this movie, you see this, like, I don't know where the guy's from. He's an American guy. He's like, yeah, we were up there. We got passes. She's like, so that only took 2 hours to get from such and such pass to so-and-so? And he's like, yeah, we were really flying. She's like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she has all these books. She literally handwrites all her notes and sits there and decides whether or not she believes you. And she's considered the official. It's called, the show is called Keeper of the Mountain. And it's just absolutely fascinating. And she's a woman who never got married, from Kansas or something, that ended up over there. And she documents it all. Also, related to hiking Everest, my wife was reading something the other day about people that do that. And they're just recently discovered, like, they'll discover bodies of people who went missing because there'll be a slight thaw. And they'll say, oh, yeah, we remember that guy. You can see his shoes sticking up when you get to a certain milestone. Like, how freakish is that?
That just stays there?
Yeah, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I remember we did see that body. That was the guy from 2007. You have to climb over him at one point. I think that'd be a deal breaker for me, you know? Well, what do we got to do? We got to climb on? Okay, all right. It's gonna be grueling.
Well, Martin, you just got to look at it like, you know, when you're a kid growing up playing football on the street, when you run to the trash can and you veer left at that point. They're just kind of using that kind of theory.
Just step over the body, no big thing.
Yeah, you get.
I wouldn't even get on the zoo train by myself because I thought I looked like a weirdo.
I haven't really talked to my uncle a lot about it, but one of my uncles, one who lives in Denver, he's climbed Kilimanjaro with my aunt. So my aunt and uncle did it. And I know there was some worry going into the climb because my uncle was getting sick with something in his chest, I believe, too. So we were all wondering how he was going to handle it, but they made it up and down. It took a little while to get it done, but I've never really talked to him about everything that goes into that, though.
Did Chris Long do Kilimanjaro?
He did one of them.
I think
it was Kilimanjaro.
And I think Jeff Fisher, I believe, during that year that he was off, did Mount Kilimanjaro. Does that
it took
right?
him. I think it took him 7 to 9 hours.
Yeah. Oh.
Get it? Because he goes seven and nine.
Seven and nine days.
Is it that many days?
It's a day's climb.
Yeah, I was looking up because Mount Rainier, 14,411 feet, first ascent, 1870. Good name for this guy, Hazard Stevens and P.B. Van Trump. Now, and look, I'm not saying this was any accomplishment, but when my wife and I went to Phoenix.
We were talking about climbing Everest and Mount Kilimanjaro.
Because I wanted to see the difference in elevation. A lot of people have climbed that Camelback.
Camelback, sure.
They're in the Phoenix area. That's only 2,706 feet. So Rainier is about six times as high as that. And I want to say that took us a couple hours, 2-3 hours. I mean, there's people that they're going there for their workout. You got guys that are just running up that mountain and running down.
On the camelback.
Camelback,
yeah,
yes.
I climbed halfway up the wall at REI once. So,
yeah. Was that why you still had your gym membership?
Yes, that was during that period. I know I did try to climb a rock wall at a wedding reception, so this was during my drinking days as well. Whatever that banquet center is.
Why was there a rock wall? It wasn't necessarily a climbing wall. It wasn't intended to be a climbing wall.
No, it's whatever that banquet center is in South County, like Lindbergh and Gravois. There's a banquet center right there. I think it's
Gardens,
a
something
it
Gardens.
It might be. I don't remember what it was.
Orlando Gardens.
It could
Panama Jones Panama, Gardens. Yeah. One of those.
Whatever that one is, it's got that rock wall there. Try doing that one at a wedding.
They now have a sign that says not for climbing.
Yeah.
Because of what they just simply refer to as the incident.
The incident.
By the way, friend of the show, Will Leach, writing about the latest rally animal for the Cardinals. And on the whole, the St. Louis Cardinals, everyone's favorite non-pinstripe team that you love to hate.
Fair.
Haven't been nearly as annoying to critics as they have been in the past. Deadspin hasn't been noting every Cardinal loss. The satiric BFib Twitter account is finally being seen for the sad hackery it is. And most of the right way to play heat has been directed more at others than at the Cardinals. I think that's true. This year, people have been less interested in them being, you know, the Cardinal way. Or,
because they're not playing the Cardinal way. They weren't, at least.
Correct. And the who runs the BFib Twitter account? Is it from Deadspin or somebody at Deadspin? Is it Jeff Passan?
I don't know. I'm guessing Jeff Passan loves to quote those tweets. I'm guessing it's not a St. Louisan. I'm guessing it's somebody that doesn't like St. Louis.
It seems as though it would be a Cubs fan.
Correct. That's what I would think.
Let's see. The most part of that is because the team hasn't been very good up until recently. Cards were under 500 more than 2 months, June 3rd to August 8th. On June 24th, they were 7 games under 500 for the first time in a decade. It hasn't just been the losses. Cardinals are playing a dispiriting, disjointed, and downright sloppy brand of baseball. But as of Wednesday night, the Cardinals might be relevant again, and they have found a new charm. All about the rally cat. He goes on to document what happened, and Molina hits the grand slam. And then Will starts digging into recent rally animals. So all cities, all teams love to attach itself to that. The Cardinals...
Can we guess?
Had the rally squirrel. I don't remember these, so you can guess if you
rally
want.
Monkey 2002 Angels.
Okay, let me see if I can go down far enough here. Let me go. I think it's chronological. 2015, the A's got behind a rally possum. I don't remember that.
Don't they have sewage issues in that stadium? There's probably all kinds of organisms down there.
So they had the rally possum, and then Billy Bean traded it for prospects, I believe.
That didn't pan out.
The Mets had a rally raccoon. Maybe that's what Mike Shannon was thinking of. That was also in 2015. It was a scavenger who invaded their weight room, which may tell you more about that area of Queens than it does about baseball superstition. We had a rally parakeet. That for the Mets. The Mets also had a rally parakeet in 2015.
I don't remember any of these.
Cleveland Indians in 2009, the infamous midges. Attached for Jabba Chamberlain.
All the bugs, the insects around him, yes. on the mound.
2 years earlier, Seagulls got in the way of a ground ball to help beat the Royals. All right. The Padres even had their own rally squirrel a few years ago. It didn't do them much good. I was going to say, can you have a rally animal if your team doesn't actually get into the postseason? And, of course, the rally monkey of the Angels, 2002 World Series run. Might argue that it shouldn't count considering he was a scoreboard concoction rather than a physical invader of the field of play. He was a virtual rally monkey.
And that year was the Thunder Sticks too, remember? That was Giants, Angels, and it was all about the rally monkey and the Thunder Sticks.
And the really awkward Barry Bonds post-World Series interview. It wasn't Rick Riley, was it? But it was really contentious. What do you want me to do? what am I supposed to do? Kind of catatonic. Remember that? The Bonds post-World
Series? I actually don't.
He was, like, almost possessed in, like, and we know how difficult he could be. But it was kind of, how tough is it, Barry? He got a chance to win again. He just couldn't quite do it. It was, what am I supposed to do? Kind of had some
Tommy Pham,
candidness to it.
I remember that year, though. That was K-Rod going crazy, just dominating in the eighth. And then you had the Ornery.
Is he still pitching? Didn't he just get moved
Tigers,
somewhere?
I want to say the Tigers DFA'd him. But then you had the Ornery Troy Percival, who was always squinting when he was trying to get the sign from the catcher. He was squinting so much every time he looked at the plate.
Now, I thought it happened just a couple years ago. Maybe they didn't turn it into a rally animal. But didn't the Dodgers have a skunk at Chavez Ravine? Because wasn't it in the Cardinals' dugout, possibly?
That sounds right.
I thought I remember the cat having to interview a skunk or something.
See, I don't remember hardly any of these things. I remember the rally monkey.
Which doesn't count, because it was just on the scoreboard. But for some reason, it was there.
Do you think, though, for example, if you ask, we always like to say, if you just asked a baseball fan in, let's say, San Francisco or Boston, do you think they remember the rally squirrel?
No.
Probably
in
not.
Philly, they might. Milwaukee, they might. Texas, they might, because they heard about it during that postseason when actually facing the Cardinals.
Can we just make an agreement?
Is this
here?
Housekeeping?
Yeah, it is a bit of housekeeping. If a bear ever runs onto a field, we don't make it a rally animal. Can we just say that?
We don't celebrate it?
And I can assure you that the grounds crew will not attempt to corral
said rally bear.
Hey, Lucas, you're pretty good at this thing, right? Is your arm healed up?
It is. I'll be damned. Look out there. Is that a cheetah? Hey, Lucas, can you help us out here? I'm good, thanks. By the way, Lucas and his buddies are going to be stopping by Patio's because Chris Doerr, the owner, said tell them to come on by and have a little lunch, dinner on their way into the ballpark. Charlie's already knocked down some of Patio's finest. Where do we go today? Sliders?
I always go with sliders. For a long time there, I always did the pork steak, which is still great. But I like the sliders. I did a pulled pork. And by far my favorite item now is the smoked turkey slider. And also they had some little potatoes, side dish, kind of like hash brown style. Very good.
And thanks to all the listeners who came by. We do have some more of these gateway tickets to go to the Bomarito Automotive 500. We got some race fans who have stopped by. Still got a stack of thanks to the folks who came by. We'll drop the tickets when we leave. Maybe we'll put them over at the bar area. If you come by later, grab some tickets to head to Gateway. We'll do What's Your Percentage a little bit early here because Derek Gould's going to join us at 2:30. Cardinals beat writer, but Charlie, first a word from one of our sponsors.
How about STL Sticker Swap? It's a local collective of artists, designers, brands, and sticker lovers who will be teaming up with Bi-State Metro, the city bus guys, to attempt to set a Guinness Book of World Records for the most stickers on a city bus by placing 28,000 unique stickers on a 40-foot Metro bus. Do you have a sticker and want to help be a part of setting a world record? Send them to STL Sticker Swap before September 1st. Want to brand your business on an entire window on the bus and be seen by millions of people around the world, as well as over 25,000 people each day at Lou Fest? Then visit stlstickerbus.com.
All right, time for What's Your Percentage?
My mom loves Bob Seger, by the way.
Coming to St. Louis for the last time ever.
Last time ever?
That's what they're billing it as. Final visit to St. Louis.
Is he okay?
Maybe not. I don't know.
That's a way to sell tickets, don't you think? Last time ever, then 5 years from now, somebody gets divorced, they need money, and they have another tour.
Second to last time ever. Now, Jake's Leg is a band that did the Grateful Dead, and I swear, and they're still going Grateful Dead cover band, popular in St. Louis. I swear they've had a million final show ever, and then your friends grab you. Hey, we gotta go, man. Last show, it's a great. This is the last midday grind ever, so make sure you listen.
Oh my gosh!
What's your percentage?
With the radio business, you never know.
It's actually very popular. I didn't see anything in Caesar today, so I think we're okay. But all right, what's your percentage, Chris Gardner? What do you got?
Let's start with this. Paul DeJong leading the Cardinals in home runs right now. Has been around the whole year.
What's he got? 16, 15,
16, I believe.
They got like a million players with 15, 14.
A lot of teams.
Fowler, Molina, DeJong, all 14, 15-ish.
What's your percentage?
Fam.
At the end of the regular season, Paul DeJong still leading the Cardinals in home runs.
Oh, boy. What's Carpenter got?
He's in that 14 to 16 range. Oh, he hit one the other day. He's probably 15.
I think he's at 15.
Oh, by the way, numbers I got wrong. The Brewers are a game back. So they did leapfrog the Brewers. Brewers are two back. Cards are one back.
We, by far.
Make the most mistakes.
No, we do make the most mistakes. But the National League Central, by far, the best division. And a text came in that's pretty smart if you think about it. We were saying, hey, what if the Cubs lose 2 of 3, Cardinals take 2 of 3? What if actually Cardinals sweep, Cubs sweep, so the Cardinals still only a game back in the division, but then only 2.5 back in the
wild card? Long way to go, Chuck. It's a marathon.
All I'm saying, though, is you're starting to get close to where you can look at that wild card a little bit, not just the division.
I
said just a little bit. I said a little bit.
Maybe 7-8 games over, you can at least look at the wild card.
You're a hater.
Which percentage that Paul did we answer the question?
No, he did.
This is like a Strickland rip it or grip it, and we never get. I think I'll go 15% chance. I feel like there's other candidates who may get ahead of him.
I'm going 25% just because if you're giving me the field, there's a lot of other guys that could just snipe him there by one homer.
Always take the field.
Let's go off of what you were just discussing there, Charlie and Martin. What's your percentage? Cards in first place come Monday.
Cards in first place, so does a tie count?
Tie does count.
It's a good question. Cards in first place, I think it's actually pretty good. I'm going to go 50%.
51.
I think there's a good chance the Cardinals could sweep this weekend.
Yeah, it's the right time. You're playing the Braves. You're red hot. You're at home. Everybody's happy.
I would be surprised. Nothing shocks me anymore. I would be surprised if the Cardinals didn't at least take 2 out of 3 this weekend, the way they're playing. Everything's going well.
You need the Cubs then to lose, which they might lose 2 out of 3. Maybe Arizona's sliding a little. I'd still 51% just to be that guy.
We all saw the reports this morning that the St. Louis feral cat outreach apparently, not confirmed yet, but apparently has caught the rally cat in City Garden. Let's say that they come out, have their press conference, announce everything. That it is indeed the rally raccoon cat. So
I don't want to have to go to this press conference.
What's your percentage? It's the real one.
100%.
This is kind of what they do. I mean, they have a group called the St. Louis Feral Cat Association. This is kind of their wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was some nut job on the internet saying, hey, look, I got the cat. No, but this is what these folks do. I feel pretty strong about this.
I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just saying it'd be hard for me if I was involved in a charity organization to say, you know, avoid taking a large sum of money to help my charitable nonprofit if I was able to arrange something, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the point. Sometimes you need a good ending for a story. We need to find a cat that looks like the cat. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to say 90%.
Okay.
This is kind of the – and they said it was found at City Garden, which – is the perfect way to explain it if you had a cover-up, is what Gardner's saying.
One final one for me. And I saw Rob Raines point this out on Twitter last night. 1987 celebration, the reunion coming up this weekend for the Cardinals of when they went to the World Series.
Are we done with 67, or is that still going on? Is that
I'd have to
kind of a season?
I'll have to wait for the email to see what they tell me is coming. And it's all reunions, all this stuff. But he pointed out that Jose Oquindo will not be in town this weekend. He's not the only player from that team not in town, but he's one of them.
He's got his coaching duties.
What's your percentage Mike Matheny will get mad at the media for asking a question about that?
I don't know if anybody will ask, where's Jose, Mike?
Okay.
So if they did, I would say it's 100% that it would be a little awkward, the answer. Uh-huh. I don't think that's going to come up.
Okay.
How many people are coming back from the team? It looked like about half, right? It wasn't close to the entire roster.
I don't think it was like 90%.
Jose does have the perfect cover. Hey, I'm busy down here. I'm hitting ground balls.
So here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, it all comes full circle. What happens is on that Saturday – the entire 87 team takes a picture, and they say, missing this guy, takes a picture of Jose Oquindo superimposed.
And that'll do it for What's Your Percentage. Just wanted to thank the listeners, too, for texting in. Two Hearts is the name of that banquet center.
Two Hearts, okay.
Yeah.
where Gardner famously climbed the rock wall that was
tried
not,
to.
It was not intended.
Also, Martin,
for rock climbing.
Good text on Mount Everest since we were talking about that.
Well, you climbed Camelback, so it's kind of the same thing.
No, all I was saying was I was trying to compare elevations, and Rainier's about six times that. When people die up on Everest, once you get over a certain elevation, they can't retrieve bodies because
correct.
It's just not possible without putting your own life at risk. Watch the movie Everest. It's really good. It's based on a true story from when Beck Weathers tried to climb. Look him up. Completely messed up from frostbite now.
Quick break here at Patios. We're going to come back. Derek Gould joins us. Our Friday visit with Derek talks some Cardinal baseball. And, boy, the topic has shifted over the last week or so. Six-game winning streak going on. We'll do that after the break. Rankin Jordan, located in Maryland Heights, Pediatric Bridge Hospital. We've been telling you for years, if you'd like to volunteer, you can simply go to the website, find out more information. Also, the great stories online, inspiring stories about kids overcoming the medical adversity. Sam, the young golfer from Memphis, who was told by doctors that he couldn't walk, and he said, forget walking, I want to golf. And now he tees it up, leads the way at the annual golf tournament. Stories like that taking place every single day. So if you have time over the weekend, go online, read about it. It all started in 1941. Mary Rankin Jordan had an idea to help out the kids, and it continues today. Over 10 years now at the new location on Dorset Road in Maryland Heights. Award-winning staff there, and by that, there are awards given out for hospitals. Bedside manner, that's something they noted at Rankin Jordan, how they get the kids out of bed, get them moving. Whether it's playing golf with Kevin Korn, the local PGA pro who does that every single Wednesday. Just get them up, get them moving. That's part of the whole mindset there at Rankin Jordan. Great organization. If you'd like to get involved, go to the website at RankinJordan.org.